Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Baseball's back. That's right. Baseball has returned. Tomorrow, the Cubs will have an afternoon game. Tomorrow night, the White Sox on your home for White Sox baseball, ESPN 1000, will battle Joe Madden's L.A. Angels in Anaheim. And that means you will hear the melodious tones of the great Len Casper, the
pre-game
voice of the White Sox pregame with Connor at 8:30. All right, Len, more important than opening day is the speed pitch challenge at Guaranteed Rate today. Me against the enemy from the midday show who will remain nameless. They set an over-under for me at 43.5. Do I beat him? Do I go over? What do you say?
Well, my guess is you aren't going to beat him in terms of actual, you know, velocity, but I think you will hit the over. Yeah, I've got you hitting the over for sure. So is your changeup like 25?
What? Yeah, got to have a 10 to 15 mile disparity.
Yeah.
I think you have a chance to hit 50. Just be careful, man, because and you know, I haven't played baseball since I was in high school, but I've played catch with some people over the years. My partners actually occasionally took extra batting practice in Miami and played catch with Josh Beckett. It was a lot of fun, but it's so easy to overdo it. And then you wake up the next day and you can't lift your shoulder, your arm. I mean, it's a real thing, Cap, so make sure you're careful.
You wake up the next day and the next day and the next day.
Right, yeah.
Right. You do know that I'm playing in a men's senior baseball league this year.
Oh, really? What position?
Pitch.
You're pitching?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then you really need to hit over 43.5.
Yeah, I mean, probably do or we'll really get ugly.
He's a command control guy.
I'm not even sure 43... Well, it will reach the plate, but, boy, you've got to have a pretty good arc from 60 feet 6 inches to throw it that slowly.
A moon ball. Len, we're getting ready for the season, and we open in Anaheim on the road. The White Sox have made a handful of roster moves. Jake Lamb is there as kind of a last guy on the roster sort of thing, but we talked a lot about guys like Zach Collins, about Andrew Vaughn. Some of those players are going to make their big, impactful debuts. Who struck you most in this spring on the hitter side of things? I know Aaron Bummer really hit you from the relief side.
Well, you know, Vaughn and Collins really stuck out in terms of just their approach. They both have a very good idea of what they're doing. I think Vaughn calls his approach calmly aggressive. We know Collins is a guy who has walked a ton in the minor leagues, hasn't really hit yet at the big league level. But I just feel like it's his time, and I don't know how much he's going to play, but I do think Tony likes his bat and will find a way to get that bat in the lineup, and especially now with left field kind of a little bit uncertain, you know, Vaughn should probably play there at least a little bit, and that could open up some DH at bats for Collins. A little surprised that they went with the two kids as the backup catchers, but, you know, Mercedes had a really good spring, and, you know, you like his bat as well. And it looks like a lot of the moves were made for offense. Billy Hamilton is an elite base stealer and an elite defender. The one thing about the bench, and I think we tend to do this a lot, and Cap, I know over the years you and I have talked about other teams' rosters in town, but the bench is where a lot of the position battles end up, right? Because one guy makes it, one guy gets released, or another guy gets sent to the minors. But the first two or three weeks of the season, you don't need your bench a whole lot. So, you know, my thing would be, and I think Jake Lamb is intriguing for sure as he tries to get back to his 2017 form, and as I mentioned, Hamilton speed. I wouldn't anticipate those guys play a whole lot early on. And I think the idea here is that most of your bench might not be used, and you almost don't want it to happen that much, because if they are playing a lot, that means somebody started the year, you know, 1-for-24, or there's an injury, right? So I think it's mostly about making sure that your everyday guys are ready to go. I'm happy for Leury García. I would hope that this would even get him more playing time. I think he is a starting player, even though he doesn't have one defensive position. So I think this maybe gets him on the field a little more often. And I think the sky's the limit for this group.
So as you look at the way this team is constructed and what Tony La Russa, I got to do an interview with him, and he said, I will ask anybody at any time to hit behind a runner. I don't care if it's Albert Pujols. I might ask him to put a bunt down. Is that going to be a huge change in the way not only the White Sox play, but the way the industry now plays? Because you don't see, you know, the Cubs asking Anthony Rizzo with two men on in the eighth inning to bunt. The White Sox maybe asking Jose Abreu. The game has changed. I like getting back to winning baseball.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess I would say hitting behind the runner to me also means a good approach, right?
Yep.
And I think for Anthony Rizzo, a good example is he might not lay down the bunt, but I think he is a situational hitter where he will shorten up. I think Jose Abreu is a guy who will put a ball in play. And I think for me, guys, the idea of kind of getting back to that sort of baseball might just simply mean don't strike out. Put a ball in play. You know, shorten up just a little bit with two strikes. Obviously, you know, hitting the ball to right field to at the very least move a guy from second to third with less than two outs is ideal. But I would also say if Jose gets a cookie right in the middle of the zone and he can hit it out of the ballpark, I'm okay with that too. So I don't think it'll be that noticeable for this group. I do think there are little pockets in this lineup where you will see some more of that with, you know, maybe Madrigal 9, Anderson 1, I could see that. Or, you know, Eaton is 2. So those three guys play a little bit more of the small ball. But when you get into the Abreu, Moncada, Robert, Grandal area, I kind of want those guys doing what they do, and that is slugging the baseball. I saw a note, Jose Abreu slugged .851 on pitches in the zone last year, which led the major leagues. So if he gets a pitch to hit, I want him to do some damage.
Len, with all the late headlines and kind of action around the White Sox, have you given a lot of thought to the different baseball that we'll be using in this year, or has that faded to the background some?
I haven't really thought about it a whole lot. I know the home run totals were down just a notch, but remember, we played some shorter games. We didn't go all nine early in the spring. So, also you're at altitude in Arizona, so that could mitigate it a little bit. I guess I'm all for the idea of maybe a ball that normally would fly 450 to maybe fly 445. It's still a home run. But there may be a few balls that stay in the yard that would have left in previous years. Talking to pitchers over the last two or three years, they're convinced, and, you know, it's been proven, right, that, and baseball has kind of tacitly said that the ball has changed. It wasn't by design, but I do think that more action, more balls in play, and when I say balls in play, don't misunderstand. Home runs are not balls in play. A ball in play is something that's defensible. I think that's what everybody in the game would like to see more of. And if the ball is less juiced, I'm good with it.
Yeah, I look at the way the game is played today, and Theo Epstein is now working in the commissioner's office, and he said, people like me, we're in large part the reason why the game has declined in terms of how it's played, and maybe the younger generation doesn't find it as compelling. I just have this belief, Len, that if you shave 15 minutes off the game, okay, I don't think that the younger generation goes, oh, you shave 15 minutes off and we got a couple more balls in play, I'm in. Either you love this sport or you don't. Can we tinker with it, make it better? Yes, but I don't think it makes dramatic change. Like, it's like turning a battleship around.
I do agree, Cap, but the way I would also look at it, if you grab a YouTube video of a game from even 1991 or 92, or, you know, God forbid, go back to the mid to early 80s, or early to mid 80s, what I think, and I don't want to speak for Theo, is I want to get the game kind of back a little bit toward the game we used to know and love, and you mentioned Tony with, you know, moving runners and that sort of thing. just watch the pace and watch guys stay in the box, watch pitchers get the ball, get the sign, throw the pitch. It's not necessarily that just the raw time of game for me. We've just lost something along the way where there's, quite frankly, a lot of dawdling. And, you know, dawdling can be fun and can be good for conversation in a broadcast. But I just think there's so much dead time between things that actually happen. When you watch football, when you watch basketball, when you watch hockey in particular, things really tend to move along quickly. And you can watch a three-hour hockey game, but it really moves. And I think there are too many days in which our sport doesn't move that quickly. And I've got millions of examples of 2-1 games with 7 combined hits, and it's 3 hours and 18 minutes. That game probably used to be 2 hours and 18 minutes. So I think that's what Theo's talking about, is kind of getting the game back to the game that we loved when we grew up. And you might reach a few more younger fans in that way.
Speaking of young fans, there's a heck of a lot of young players making impacts this year. You get to go see Mike Trout. We'll see Mike Trout, I guess, all of us on Thursday night. Juan Soto is impressive, but you're new to the AL Central, Len, at least in terms of broadcasting. Two players or so that you're in this division, not on the White Sox, you're excited to see, I don't know, put up some game-changing kind of performances this year.
Well, he's not a kid necessarily, but Shane Bieber, right?
Sure.
Is the best pitcher on the planet last year. So I think he would probably be near the top of that list. The two kids, Mize and Skubal, saw them a little bit last year with Detroit. They're supposed to be the future with the Tigers. Yeah, I mean, can I say Nelson Cruz?
You can. You absolutely can.
I hate to do that, but he's a really good DH. And, Alex Colome in a Twins uniform, you know, that'll be interesting facing the White Sox probably, you know, 8 or 9 times this season. I know some White Sox fans shudder at the 19 matchups between those two teams, but they might determine who wins this division, and it's a great rivalry, and the White Sox haven't been on top of that rivalry for a while, but maybe this is their year.
Hey, man, have a great rest of your day. Really excited that you are with us here on the radio station. Can't wait to listen.
Can't wait to be on the air with Connor and DJ tomorrow, and I've had a blast, and, it's going to be fun. I cannot wait, and the reaction, the feedback we've gotten, Cap, has been tremendous, and I can't thank everybody at the station enough for all their support. And part of the family now, whether you like it or not.
There you go. Have a great day. We'll see you soon.
See you tomorrow.
All right, throw it hard today.
I'm going to try. Not blow out. That's the problem.
See you guys.
See ya. There he is. That is Len Casper. The great Edzo, Eddie Olczyk, on what a circus trip meant to him.
This is just
precious. Next.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
So, the great Eddie Olczyk, one of my dearest friends in my life. So, he texted me. We were getting into Final Four stuff.
Right.
And Jeff Darlington tweeted a picture. He's playing golf. He's a great ESPN NFL insider, but he lives in Florida. And he was playing golf this morning, and he goes, well, this is a predicament. His ball is in the rough, like 3 yards off the fairway, and there is a monster snake curled up right next to the ball.
I can't do snakes. I get physically unnerved by snakes.
Correct.
Just as an idea.
Correct. So I tweeted back at him and said, it's 38 degrees, move to Chicago, problem solved, take that, to Jeff. And then somehow it came up about Danny saying somebody has an emotional support snake that they tried to bring on, and that they had in a car when they got pulled over by a cop.
That's no good.
That led to us finding a story about a Shetland pony that someone brought in first class because it was their emotional support horse that United has now said can't do that anymore.
Which then led to...
That led to...
You talking about Siegfried and Roy and the Tigers.
The Tigers mauling Siegfried or Roy, one of the two. I think it was Roy got mauled.
It was Roy, and it was Roy's fault.
Yeah, and it's not Roy's fault. It's a effing tiger. What do you expect?
They're built for that.
He weighs 2,000 pounds, and he's got fangs that could eat through the Sears Tower. I mean, oh, he turned on you. What a shock. Anyway, that led to Danny talking about going to the circus. Edzo is listening to the show, as he does every day. He said they also had him at the old International Amphitheater on the south side of the city. I broadcast in that building. What a dump. But he said, I'm playing for the Rangers. We're at MSG. They used to have the Barnum and Bailey show during the day and then switch the arena over after the first show of the circus.
Oh, no.
Because they had a game that night.
Oh, no.
He said the animals would be there for 3 weeks. He said, first of all, when the circus was coming to town, they would bring all the animals in on train cars. He said they would parade the animals from the train station in downtown Manhattan. They'd close the street and they'd walk the lions and all that right down the frickin' main street.
They used to do that here. I believe when Ringling Brothers Circus came and they were at the, when I was young, it was the Chicago Stadium. I believe they did the same thing. They walked the elephants and lions and tigers down the street into the stadium.
So he said they would parade the big animals down the street to MSG from the train yard. Camels as well.
Sure they were happy to be there.
He said, we're playing the game. I'm on the ice after a long shift. I am exhausted trying to get some air. Brutal. I yelled on the bench, it smells like a effing circus in here. And one of my smart-ass teammates turned and said, yeah, the circus animals are right down there, Edzo. Yeah, no blank.
That's so gross.
He said it was so brutal. You try to breathe, get some air in, and all you're smelling is animal crap.
What a strange world we used to live in where, like, there's a pro hockey team. And we're going, yeah, don't worry. Just share your space with a giraffe this week.
Correct.
Like, what are we doing?
Right. They used to schedule, remember, the circus trip for the Bulls and the Blackhawks to both leave town.
Yeah. They would do these like horrendous 14, 15-day West Coast road trips.
Right.
Which nobody liked. And it used to be a big conversation with, you know, beat writers would ask about this. Are you ready for the circus trip? It's going to be really hard. And the career records for everybody, the Bulls players or Blackhawks players,
even
on
good
the circus
Bulls teams,
they're terrible.
Awful.
You go on the circus trip and you're like, oh, it's another 2 for 12. That'll be fun.
Right.
Like, what were we doing?
Circus must have been making a lot of money for them for a long time.
Hand over fist cash.
Yeah. So, yep, that was Edzo's experience with the circus.
It's just such a... We're going to look back on the whole circus.
Look, Danny just brought up a picture.
They would parade the elephants through the street as they walked. Like, here's a picture of the elephants walking through Rosemont on the way to the Rosemont Horizon.
Yeah, and they've got jewelry on the elephants.
It says Ringling Brothers. That's their headdresses.
It's a parade from our perspective, but for the elephant, it's kind of a death march.
I would think for the elephant, that was the happiest part of their day.
Finally outside?
Yes, getting outside of those trucks and those cages and the bowels of the stadium to actually walk the streets was probably their best part of the day.
Maybe a chance to make a break for it, or at least think about making a break for it.
Like their version of Gladiator. They just are led into this stadium and everyone's waiting then.
Man.
So you're telling me that if the circus came back, you wouldn't go?
Danny was telling us that apparently the circus is now the acrobats and fire eaters and the two guys on motorcycles in a cage sort of thing.
There's still 85 circuses or so, according to what I found, and none of them have animals. You could find some, like, you know.
I find just circus with animals.
Yeah, behind the garage type circuses. Yeah, yeah. But, like, the legit Ringling Brothers circuses don't have animals anymore. That was the reason they kind of got canceled.
Are there still clowns?
Yes, clowns are acceptable.
I hate clowns. Don't ever bring a clown around.
Oh, you just said hate. You just said I hate. And so don't ever say I don't say hate.
And I banned the word hate.
You just said it, so you could say it again.
January the 1st. I said, that's it. I'm not using that word anymore.
Really?
I don't like that word.
We can't. Okay. All right.
Well, you just said it.
But clowns, they're brutal.
No, I.
Brutal.
What is the appeal?
What is the appeal?
What is the appeal of clowns?
John Gacy can come in here?
Not just to, like, be a clown, But who's going, you know what? I don't have enough interest to be a clown, but I sure want to see clowns.
Right.
Like, what is that? What are you doing?
And it only made it worse. I despised clowns growing up.
Well, it doesn't really count if you're just finding synonyms for hate.
True.
You know what I mean? Like,
I have a strong aversion.
Hate is like just the notion of hating things.
Strong aversion to clowns.
Right. But you're just coming up with different ways to say it.
And then, you know, I had friends. I'm like, dude, it's just a guy in face paint or a girl.
It's not.
And then John Gacy happened. Pogo the Clown murdered 33 young men and boys. And I went, told ya. And I have zero interest in ever seeing another clown.
Have you two seen the movie Shakes the Clown?
No, absolutely.
You might
not.
Be too young, Connor. Cap, you should have seen it. It is an all-time classic, phenomenal, great movie. Bobcat Goldthwait's in it.
He's hilarious.
I'm telling you, if you have not seen it, it's worth your time. You could probably stream it somewhere. Oh, here it is, Hulu. If you have Hulu, you could stream it.
Shakes the Clown.
If you've seen Shakes the Clown, tweet at Connor and Cap and let them know what they're missing. I'm telling you, it's great. It's the best clown movie ever made.
And it took Bobcat Goldthwait to do it.
He deserved an Academy Award.
It's the role he was made for.
Do you know what he's doing now?
He's trying to get the clown card.
No, he has a career. He's searching for Bigfoot. He's devoted his life to finding Bigfoot.
Robin Williams is in this movie?
I'm telling you, it's a really good movie.
Shakes the Clown.
Florence Henderson is in this movie. That's weird.
Downtown Julie Brown.
Is she still alive?
Florence Henderson?
Yeah. Always got to find the person that's passed Florence. Away.
I think we lost Florence recently.
Kathy Griffin is in it.
Yeah,
I'm telling you guys, it's a really good movie.
Robin Williams.
I can say with certainty, Danny, that while I respect your opinion, I will never watch this film.
See, but knowing what I now know of you,
I won't even think about this film after we're done with the show.
You would laugh out loud. Like, you would get the sense of humor of this.
Sure. And I might. I will never see this film. It's not happening. It's a 5.6 on IMDb. It does not speak well.
On a 6-point scale.
Mrs. Brady's dead. So.
Yeah, she
died in 2016.
It's a shame.
There you go. 312-332-3776. We will have shot, no shot in your calls coming up next.
This is Cap and J Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap J Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
That's why I see him in my shot.
No shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
A shot, no shot, brought to you by PointsBet. PointsBet Sportsbook is here. Visit them at Hawthorne Racecourse. Experience Illinois' premium sportsbook. But first, download that awesome PointsBet app. Get $100 in free bets when you deposit just $20 with the code ESPN. Hang on, let me just.
Oh, what you got there?
Pop a cold one. Okay. I just stole it. The coffee machine's busted. So I just.
That was not my fault.
It might have been my fault. Yeah, I think it was. Because you used it. And now I went in
several
there.
Times.
Please contact repair. There's a problem with the machine. So I stole a Michael Bublé sparkling water out of the boss's refrigerator.
All right, fair enough.
He's on a Zoom call. I just walked right in, helped myself.
This is mine now.
Take that. Thank you. Danny.
Gentlemen, you say Gonzaga. I say Gonzaga. They improved to 30-0.
Danny, get that guy out of the control room between 7 and 10. He's the enemy today.
He who shall not be named. We'll call him Voldemort. Listen, he's doing something for work. We'll allow it to happen.
Does he look fit, though?
Dude,
I'm
telling you what. I've known Carm for a long time, and Carm's in great shape. I've never seen him look better than he does today.
Yeah,
never.
I'm worried about it.
He's got a swagger about him. Like, he knows he's the cat's meow.
He looks like he could throw foul pole to foul pole.
He didn't come in here today saying, I'm probably going to lose. I might win. Like somebody else we know.
Hey, he's dead to me till tomorrow. I'll reincarnate our friendship tomorrow. Today, he's the enemy.
He looks like he doesn't need a relay, man.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Hey, whatever.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to be like the guy in the Geico commercial. He is the lady drag racer, and I'm the other guy. And at the end of the day, my arm will still be in touch.
That's a great commercial, and that's the soundtrack when he takes off has been in my head for a week now since the tournament started.
Such a great ad.
It's great. It's fantastic.
All right, Danny.
All right, gentlemen. Gonzaga improves to 30-0. They beat USC last night 85-66. They become the third team since 1985 to go undefeated into the Final Four. I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, this Zags team will be remembered with the tournament's all-time great teams.
I say no shot because they're Gonzaga, right? We just talked about their blue blood status a while ago. What's more likely to happen is they become blue bloods and have a more notable championship team a couple years down the line. And then we're going to see a guy like Andy Katz on ESPN say, yeah, but remember that 21 team was really good too. This will be the also-ran version of Gonzaga, even though another team might not be as good.
Now, if they close the deal and they are hoisting the trophy, the first undefeated team since Bob Knight in 1976, they absolutely 1,000% are going to go down as one of the great teams. To navigate a pandemic, go undefeated, and win it?
Do they get blue blood status if they do it? Do you elevate them to the ranks?
No.
Well, then what does it take?
Gonzaga's not a blue blood.
And man.
You play in the WCC.
They got to change conference. I'll give you that.
Come on. Stop.
They got to change conference.
All right, Danny.
Gentlemen, for over four decades, the NFL has played 16 regular season games. Our Bears end the 16-game era with zero 4,000-yard passers. I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, with the added 17th game, Andy Dalton or whoever is under center this upcoming season will hit the 4,000-yard mark.
Yeah, unless they get Russell Wilson here, no shot. If it's Andy Dalton, Nick Foles, Tyler Bray, or Nathan Enderle for another shot at it? No shot.
No, it's not happening. It's no shot. How many yards was Mitch shy of 4,000? It was like 900 or so, 800 or so in 18.
And how many? He missed two games, right?
I got it up here. 18. He played 14 games. Yards per, I can't do that math in my head. He might have done, if he'd had that season in a 17-game schedule, he might have done it. But that's might with that defense.
Right.
Playing is with everything perfect.
Correct.
He might have gotten there.
Correct.
All right, let me do that math. I'll figure it out.
So.
Well, he needed 800 yards in three games. That's a he would have never done it.
Why?
I suppose that's.
What do you mean? What, 800 divided by three? I mean,
Then he had multiple 300-yard games. He could have very easily.
266?
Yeah, very easily could have. I'm not saying he would have. He could have done it, but that's still embarrassing.
It's in the ballpark. It's in the ballpark, and the fact that it's there is, yes.
It's a legitimate possibility.
It's embarrassing.
It's not like he needed 1,500 yards in three games.
No, that wouldn't happen.
Right. Danny.
Gentlemen, opening day is tomorrow. White Sox fans have a lot to look forward to. Cub fans are going in with a lot of trepidation. I asked you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, Chris Bryant, in a contract year, can regain his MVP form.
Shot. Yeah. Shot. Shot. Yeah.
No shot.
Shot.
No shot.
And
I'm not saying he won't be a good player. MVP, no shot.
Shot. I would bet on Bryant. I want Bryant on fantasy baseball teams. I want him on daily fantasy rosters. I am all about the Bryant rebound. If he's healthy, he can play.
I'm not saying he can't play. I think he can have a very, very good year. MVP conversation, I don't see it.
That whole Juan Soto thing's going to be tough. I get that. He's a darn good ball player.
He's very good.
My word. But can he be in the conversation? Give me a top five vote getter if he's healthy? Yeah, I think so. I'm all about the Bryant rebound. I'm all about a Bryant rebound.
I hope you're right. I would love to see it.
You gotta let me, if we get to that point, and let's say he's seven, and we've got a pitcher, you know, getting like a third place vote or something, it's one of those weird years, mm-hmm. you gotta let me take the pitchers out. Because that's not, I'm just talking about hitters at this point.
No, we're talking about the voting.
No, I'm like you. I'm moving the goalposts I set the tape.
No, goalposts are in concrete. Danny.
Gentlemen, Kevin Durant and the actor Michael Rapaport had an extremely heated back and forth on Twitter yesterday afternoon. It stemmed from some very not suitable for work direct messages. Kevin Durant sent the actor. The actor was critical of Kevin Durant's interview during the All-Star game. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, Kevin Durant is the softest superstar in the history of sports.
Ooh.
Let's not forget Kevin Durant's the guy with the burner account.
I'm going to say no shot, and here's why.
Then have a caveat, Connor. If you say no shot, I demand you give me someone softer.
I just think this goes back to the whole deal, right? If old time players, if guys in the '80s had a chance to be on social media? Like, you think, all right, maybe I shouldn't name names, but if you, there's a handful of guys, think about the 86 Mets. I think those were all tough guys they were painted out to be. Go read Jeff Perlman's book. You tell me there wasn't somebody there that would have been deep in his mentions, responding to everybody, every single hater who came at him.
Right.
If those guys had a chance to be eviscerated on social media the way today's athletes are, you would find somebody who was also like Charmin.
And is soft only in the social era? Or can you be soft when your Yoenis Cespedes begging out of an NLCS game and you're spotted at Medina playing golf the next morning?
I'm talking soft in the fact that like everything gets to him.
Yeah, he's right there then. And it's very disappointing because I know people who know him well. And they said before he became this guy, he was the best.
But wait. Everything got to Jordan. I mean, that's the whole meme of, and I took that personally. Everything got to Jordan. What he did with it afterward is a different conversation. Durant's won. Durant's put up MVPs. Mm-hmm. Jordan just didn't have social media to clap back at some dude. If the bar is, does everything bother you?
Michael's
Jordan
right there.
Fits
that's a great
criteria.
Point. Like in The Last Dance, they had the three writers sitting on press row
at the stadium.
And Michael walked by. He goes, "We took care of you," because it was like the late Lacey Banks had said they were going to lose to Indiana in the second round.
Right.
He said, "We took care of you." And then he looked at the next writer. "We took care of you, and we take care of you today." Like he let writers.
But those are writers. Like Kevin Durant lets the fans get in his head.
But Jordan didn't have a chance to get to the fans
to
the way Durant does.
But Jordan, like the fans would ride Jordan. You go to Madison Square Garden and they'd yell at him and they'd ride him. And he'd use that as fuel.
And you don't think he ever like picked out a guy who was giving him hell in the stands? That three's for you? Of course he did. I guarantee
you
he did.
He was like the king of take that.
I'm just saying. If the measure is, if everything gets to you, you're soft, everything got to Michael Jordan, and no one would call him soft. I don't know. I think social media is a tough place to be.
Yeah. Tough place.
I just wonder, like, I can't not read you the exchange between Kevin Durant and Michael Rapoport on here, but, like, Kevin Durant goes really far.
What?
I'm not the king of leading the push on cancer culture. I'm not all for that, but it's like Kevin Durant crosses some serious lines. I wonder what the outcome is going to be for him because he's a highly endorsed superstar athlete. Like, this is going to upset a lot of people, and it should.
So that's kind of the next question, and I think it's a fair one. What he said is a different conversation than having gone after Ian Rapoport in the first place. Not Ian Rapoport, Michael Rapoport, right?
The actor, Michael Rapoport.
That's a different conversation. Are there consequences for what you say, whether online, privately, or not? Yeah, we found out that there absolutely are.
No question.
Absolutely are. And the NBA has a list of words that you cannot use, like most places do, because it's a business, and you get to set those rules. So if he violated him, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he gets suspended.
What changed Kevin Durant from the guy who, when he was with the Oklahoma City Thunder, some guy, not a player, some guy slipped and fell and got hurt. And they had to bring him, they have an MRI machine or an X-ray machine at the arena.
Yeah.
And the guy was beside himself with fear that he'd done something. And Kevin Durant happened to spot this at the end of the game. And the story I was told by someone who was there, that they took the guy to get the test done right there at the stadium.
Yeah.
And he was so nervous that Kevin Durant spent 45 minutes with him while they did the test, just trying to calm him down and just go, "Hey, bro, I'm here for you. I'll stay with you." They said he was like over the top unbelievable.
Really?
Like, he's not that guy anymore.
It's different online, though, right? I mean, it used to be that, listen, the guy you are when you're driving is the worst version of yourself for many, many people. Twitter does the same thing to people.
Mm-hmm.
You can be the worst version of yourself there because it's all you got to have is an egg and some sort of handle that's got 1,000 numbers in it and it doesn't matter.
Right.
And you say whatever you want.
Right.
I wouldn't, listen, will there be consequences for some of the stuff he said? Given what he said, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But does that mean that's who Kevin Durant is?
No, he got triggered.
Yeah, he got triggered. Triggered, trolled, baited, the whole thing.
All right. 312-332-3776. We have got a bunch of calls to get to. We'll clean those up next.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Rolling on. It's Cap Jay Hood. Hoodie back tomorrow. Connor here, and then he turns his attention to White Sox baseball. He is the pre-post host, the White Sox weekly host, so you'll hear a lot of him over the next 162 games. Let's go to Johnny Vegas. He's our guy. Hey, Johnny.
What's up, fellas? Hey, Connor, congratulations on your gig starting tomorrow. Just want to throw that out there.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
So Cappy, this is all for you, man. You know, whenever I call you, I make fun of you, but it's all in love. It's all for the show.
Hey, by the way, I'm coming to Vegas, kid.
Okay, cool. We'll talk about that offline.
But, all right.
Okay, so I want to talk about your throwing contest with Carm.
Who? With so, who? His name is banned today. Walk?
You did it for charity, and you raised, I think, you raised a lot of money.
$100,000.
Wow, $100,000?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I thought it was 40. My God, God bless you. God bless you. Okay, so I got a question for you from the Twitch crowd and all the listeners. This might make you uncomfortable, but what I want, if you throw under 50 miles an hour,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
Who cares if you beat Carm or not? If under 50 miles an hour, let's just say it's 43 miles an hour, you'll have to get that tattooed because you love tattoos now.
Mm-hmm.
Either as a tramp stamp or on your left or right buttocks, and you got to show that off. And I guarantee we can raise more than $100,000 for charity.
Yeah, no, I am not putting. So, what do you want tattooed on there? Like the mile per hour?
Oh. So, for example, like a tramp stamp, it's going to be say 43 miles an hour, and it's going to have like flames on the outside going back and forth.
Maybe
like
some butterfly
like, you know,
wings.
Whatever, you know, like a typical tattoo.
Yeah, no, that's a no shot, Johnny. Love you dearly, but not going to happen.
Come on, over $100,000 for charity.
Yeah, not going to happen.
We get Johnny to pledge $100,000.
All right, Johnny, I'll be out there. See you, buddy.
Okay. Yeah. Call me.
Bye.
Cute little ankle tattoo.
He says call
maybe?
Him. How am I supposed to call him? I don't have his number.
We don't have that saved?
We can get Johnny's number like that. I mean, he's the king of Twitch.
Okay. Johnny, send your number, buddy, to Danny. I appreciate that. Dan and Homer Glenn. Hey, Dan, what's up, man?
Hey, good. Love the show, Cap. How you doing, Cookie?
Good. What's going on there, Buttercup?
Hey, we're just circling back to that circus you guys were talking about on and off for the last hour. I kind of feel like Adam Schefter with Breaking News. There is a circus in town. It's been here for a few years.
Yeah, it's called This Show.
Hallis Hall. Okay?
Yeah.
Bunch of clowns up there.
Yes. No question. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate you.
The show.
You got
all
it.
Right,
you too. Yeah. This show is a circus.
Yeah,
you'd be the worst guy in a comedy club, Cap. The guy had a one-liner. He's waiting on the phone 45 minutes to drop it, and you're all over it with your one-liner.
Just step
like
on it.
Stepping all over the guy. 45-minute wait to say that Hallis Hall's a circus, and you're all over it with this show. Bah, 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 bah.
Whatever, Nanny. Whatever. Thank you, Dan, out in Homer Glen. We love you.
Thanks for wasting 45 minutes.
He was working. He had it on the speaker. He had some laughs. And
I even said to you, Dan's got a great one-liner. Just let it breathe.
Whatever. Marcus in Minneapolis. Hey, Marcus.
Cat, what's going on, man? Like,
sup,
love the show.
Dog, appreciate you.
Hey, I got to say something real quick about that Kevin Durant topic you guys were just talking about. I've always wanted to say this. I kind of, maybe Kevin Durant went a little too far, but my thing is you can never control a person's reaction when you tempt them to do something. I think analysts are too comfortable nowadays saying anything about these athletes that get on air and they say like trigger words, disrespectful words that they would not say in person to the athlete. You can critique an athlete in a nice way, Like, these guys are still men at the end of the day. Like, I think, Cap, even you said something about Derrick Rose. I don't know if it was, like, a bad word or anything, but I'm just – not even just you. I've heard people on air and on ESPN all the time, Stephen A. Smith, they say things like call these athletes stupid or just, like, words. I'm like, would you say that in front of that person's face? So I can kind of understand Kevin Durant.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that, Marcus, and I understand your point.
Yeah.
The problem is that if you work for, I'm just going to pick a random company, you work for FedEx, and you go out and start tweeting nonsense on Twitter about whatever, they can fire you. That has been upheld in court. Because it's my personal Twitter account, I can do it. No, that is not accurate. So Kevin Durant needs to have a lot thicker skin. If you want to call the guy yourself, and the phone rings, hey, man, it's Kevin Durant, why'd you say that? That's a one-on-one thing. When you go on social media and you say some of the things that he did or other guys do, they're going to get fined, suspended, whatever. You can't do it.
Okay. It goes both ways, but I agree with you. Kevin Durant went too far, but on the other side, too, you guys can be a little, you know, not as disrespectful with your words sometimes.
I get your
That's
point.
That's all I'm saying.
Hey, man, have a great day.
You too.
All right, we'll see you. The enemy will be in here in a moment for crosstalk.
Tom,
so
how
I'm
you
gonna,
feeling? You warm? You good?
I'm good.
Physically healthy?
I'm good. I just don't want to be in the same room with him.
Sure.
I'm going to start to pack my gear up, let him come in, set his stuff up, and I'm going to get as far from him as I can.
You don't want to throw one more time?
I'm good.
Okay. If you're happy, I'm happy.
My personal catcher showing up in the parking lot,
Excellent.
George.
Glad to hear it.
So we'll get the...
Get some ibuprofen.
Get myself all heated up. That's it. Yep. Might be an edible in my future.
Yeah, I would say.
All your calls are always appreciated. We're back in 2 minutes for Crosstalk.